Well, this year marks the 400th anniversary of the passing of Matteo Ricci, as we all know, who, along with his fellow Jesuits and early Chinese Catholic literary converts, paved the way for cross-cultural interactions between China and West in the 16th and 17th centuries. Whether these missionaries are generation of giants, as George Duns described in the 1960s, or cultural ambassadors from the West, as a kind of a standard term that the Chinese government would prefer, the influence of their works can still be felt today. Well, before I began the preparation of this presentation, like all the scholars, you go into archives, libraries, and trying to put your thoughts together. And so I would like to start by clarifying three technical issues and in the lecture. The first is the English translation of the Chinese term jiao an. And I have seen this particular phrase being translated into religious cases, religious incidents, missionary cases, or even massacres. These were occasions in the Chinese modern history where persecutions of missionaries, Christians, and other believers took place, resulting in the loss of properties and human lives, although some incidents might or may not be directly related to religion. So, for consistency, I will use the term religious cases in my presentation. Second, and I will use pinyin system to transliterate Chinese characters, and because there are so many, you know, romanization systems, and I want to keep everything consistent. And third, I will use the Chinese custom to address Chinese names. Surnames would come before given names so that we don't get confused. Well, again, when I started preparing this lecture, I was quite intrigued by a particular memorial from the Imperial Archives in Beijing. The particular piece of document is dated August the 29th, 1910, from this Mr. Federico Barilari, then Italian minister to China in Beijing. It states, Matteo Ricci is a celebrity of Italy and spread Christian religion in the Ming Dynasty of China. As a man of extraordinary learning, he was greatly honored by Emperor Wan Li. He compiled works in Chinese and was highly respected by Chinese literati. This Mr. Barilani continues and saying, and trying to inform the Chinese imperial court that on the 300th anniversary of Matteo Ricci's passing, a grand celebration would be held on September the 25th, 26th, and 27th of this year, which is 1910, at the recommendation of the citizens of Macerata, so as to commemorate his glory. Those who are learned and knowledgeable of language and literature from China are invited to participate in the celebration. Well, apparently, according to a local bulletin published in that year in Macerata, and this Mr. Zhao, who was an assistant to, on behalf of this gentleman, Wu Zonglian, who was the minister of China in Rome, attended the celebration. And of course, as we know, that some of the well-known European scholars of Oriental studies also attended. People such as Henri Cordier, Taki Venturi, and they presented papers. But given the chaotic social conditions facing the last imperial dynasty, and then the powerless 4-year-old Emperor Puyi, who was overthrown a year later in 1911, It is not difficult to conclude that most likely no Chinese scholars ever went. And this small incident of cross-cultural relations went by almost unnoticed. However, encounters and dialogues between China and the West that took place from the late Ming and early Qing dynasties through Christian missionaries have never gone by without being noticed, and the studies of such interactions in various disciplines have been carried out by both Chinese and Western scholars ever since. And of course, it is beyond the scope of this lecture to capture all of the accomplishments. Therefore, I have chosen to reflect on some of the recent contributions by Chinese scholars from mainland China for the broader discussion of Christianity in China in history and today. Well, until recent years, a significant amount of research on Christianity in China in the 16th to the 18th centuries, or what we call the late Ming and early Qing period, had focused on the activities of the missionaries, largely Jesuits and Dominicans, Franciscans, Lazarists, and MEPs, as well as associated events in the imperial court in calendar reforms, scientific instrument creation, art and architectural creation based on Western language sources, and or Chinese imperial archives, and philosophical and theological dialogues between missionaries and Chinese literati through edited publications in Chinese and Western languages. However, statistics suggest a different picture of the presence of Christianity in China during that particular period. Between 1500 to 1800, the total number of missionaries in China at one time never exceeded 140, and no more than 20 primarily were occupied with scientific activities in the court. The remaining clergies were serving over 200,000 Chinese Christians who were living in villages and small cities throughout the country. Therefore, I believe that studies of Christianity in China, historically, sociologically, sinologically, even theologically, would not be complete without the explorations of the mind, heart, and voice of these grassroots people. Attempts to do so by Chinese scholars in the past 10 years represent this trend in scholarship in China today. One of such studies is by a young scholar, Dr. Zhang Xianqing, a professor of anthropology at Xiamen University. A native of Fujian province, where the existence of Catholicism has been resilient since the 17th and 18th centuries, he captures, through his extensive research based on resources in Chinese, Spanish, and English, and many years of fieldwork, the establishment, survival, and growth of the Catholic Church in the 17th and 18th centuries in Fu'an County, and how Catholic faith was sustained through an extensive local lineage system during a tumultuous period when the government at all levels, the Catholic Church, and the locals were involved in various social, political, cultural, and religious events. I'm very grateful for him to allow me to share his findings today with all of you by providing me full access to his research materials. So what is this Fu'an County, after all? Well, the Ming Dynasty of China, which is from 1368 to 1644, occupied a large area in Asia. By the end of the dynasty, the country consisted of 18 provinces with a population of approximately 1,500 million people. And out of the 18 provinces, Fujian was a coastal and mountainous province in the southeast region of China. And Fu'an County was in the north of, northeast of the province, a county approximately of 1,800 square kilometers. Within the county, land on the banks of the White Horse River was occupied primarily by farmers and frequented in the 17th and 18th centuries by Dominicans who entered the region through the Huangqi port of the county. Villages in Fu'an were characterized in the local gazetteer as follows. Old households of large families established independently since the Tang and Song dynasties, and visitors of other surnames were not allowed to be mixed. Most of the inhabitants belonged to the largest family clans, which were emigrated from inland during the 8th to the 13th centuries. And of course, like in most of the counties in China, the local magistrate represented the administrative power, but the local gentry and literati were vastly influential, forming another political power in local affairs. Few of the local gentry in Fu'an earned the highest academic degree called Jinshi, the highest degree for the imperial examination system during the 16th and 17th century period. But a significant number of the learned held a degree called Gongsheng, and which gave them social recognitions and respect locally. Those local literati from larger family clans, such as Miao family clan of Muyang village, Huang family clan of Dingtou village, I will keep repeating those family clans and villages because they will come up later on, and played an important role in the founding and growth of the Catholic Church in the region. And Fu'an was also an area where the presence of Buddhism was strong during the 17th and 18th centuries. Out of over 100 Buddhist temples in that region, more than 35 was established 500 to 900 years before, including indicating a long tradition of religious life in the region. More recently, more importantly, and places in Chinese we call Zongci or Citang, ancestral halls, where members of family clans would gather, worship, and discuss important local affairs, were common establishments for the locals, especially for those large family clans. The earliest Western missionary who had a permanent residence at Fu'an was Father Angelo Rucchi, and an Italian Dominican who arrived in Fu'an in 1632 from Taiwan. Upon his arrival, he's welcomed by the locals. Among them were 10 Christian literati. And Jose Maria Gonzalez, a historian of Dominican missions, described the occasion as follows. When Father Rucchi arrived at Fu'an, he found that only 10 Christians from that town had been baptized previously by Giulio Aleni in the city of Fuzhou, a five-day journey from Fu'an. No fathers of the Society of Jesus had come to or passed through Fu'an, nor was any church there. Thus, Father Rucchi, having arrived less than a year, had already had everything under his pastoral control, and more than 100 people were baptized. Among them, some were learned. Within 1 year, two companions came. They were Father Antonio de Santa Maria and Father Juan Bautista. A year after their arrival, Father Bautista, already knowing the local language, baptized 200 Christians in that village and established two churches. One was in this village and the other in the town of Dingtou. Among the 10 literati were Mr. Guo Bangyun and Gongsheng and Mr. Miao Shixiang, 举人, those are particular academic degrees that they were holding and recognizing not only scholarly accomplishments, but local social status. And these two people were prominent among the local Chinese Christians during the 17th century. In the following 100 years, after the arrival of the first Dominican, 14 Dominican missionaries worked in Fujian province at one time or another. Well, a great deal took place in Fu'an County in this period, from 1634 to 1638. Incidents against missionaries for their attitude towards Chinese ancestral rituals resulted in a series of local religious cases. Many missionaries were involved, and the local magistrate, Wu Sanzhu, was infuriated. And although he was earlier friendly to Dominican missionaries, and he issued a strong directive stating that the doctrines promulgated by the missionaries were against the divine principles of Confucius, and these foreigners should be expelled from this county as soon as possible. Now, the collapse of the Ming Dynasty later on in 1644 led to regional wars between loyalists and the army of the new regime, the Qing Dynasty. As a result, normal life of this particular area and many other areas was severely disturbed. Some founding members of the Catholic Church in Fu'an, such as this Mr. Miao and Mr. Guo, who first welcomed Father Ruki, were actually executed by the new Qing regime because of their loyalty to the old one. And further, in the early 1660, invasions by General Zheng Chenggong from Taiwan destroyed many villages along the coastline of the province, and subsequent orders in 1662 by the Qing Emperor to massively clear the coastal villages of Fujian and other provinces left some of the churches destroyed and communities reallocated elsewhere. Well, there are a lot of religious cases during that particular period. One of the religious cases that produced the worst devastation to the mission in Fu'an and later spread to the entire country of China took place in 1746. In the spring of that year, the governor of that office of Fujian province received alarming reports stating active involvements of missionaries in local affairs by Western missionaries, and immediately ordered investigation. And upon further investigation, he was shocked by some frightening reports. As a result of the investigation, one of the reports states that we learned that there is a large number of people who believe in Western Catholicism, particularly people from Muyang, Xidong, Xitian, Sangyang, Luojiaan, Dingtou villages. And these people take turns to hide foreigners in dark rooms, basements, double wall hideouts upon learning about any arrest warrants. They work together and hide without any trace. These reports immediately led to the massive arrests of both Western missionaries, a lot of them Dominican, and local Catholics. Soon, the arrests spread to the entire country, including the Bishop of Fuzhou, Pedro Sanz. On the order of the Qianlong Emperor, Bishop Pedro Sanz was executed on April the 23rd, 1747. Followed by secret executions of another four Dominican missionaries over a year later. Well, historical incidents that took place in Fu'an suggest that during the 100 years since the arrival of the first Dominican priest, the local government, supported by officials all the way to the imperial court, repeatedly took measures to suppress the Catholic Church. However, the growth of the local Catholic communities never stopped, and at times they even thrived. One of the questions, therefore, is, in addition to the common faith, which is Catholicism, what are some of the contributors that have made this happen? Materials in Western languages, especially Dominican archives in Spanish, can be obtained and have assisted researchers to respond to the question from primarily Western perspective. However, Chinese materials on the activities of local counties are scarce, especially those that record activities of the local communities. It is in this area that Dr. Zhang Xianqing's contribution is most significant. In addition to reading through in the Imperial Archives hundreds of memorials and reports, and some of them are printed in here, as a result of his research, and the Ruysch Institute worked with him intensively for 2.5 years and came up with the 4 volumes of imperial documents concerning Western missionaries from early to mid-Qing. And it has 1,248 documents, many of them first made available. And these 4 volumes of documents record not only the activities of the Jesuit missionaries in the court, and which are kind of recorded in work orders for people such as the painters and other people, and basically day to day, and to send this person to another palace to paint this, but also largely a lot of the local activities of not only the missionaries, but the local Chinese, how they were being persecuted and so on and so forth. And these 4 volumes will be available at Campion Hall. So through the reading of all of these documents, and also repeated trips to Fu'an, where Catholic communities were very active and had a very strong presence for centuries. And also, being a native of Fujian, he collected genealogies of 13 prominent families in Fu'an. Some of them are Catholic, some of them are non-Catholic, and some of them are anti-Catholic. And also, he collected data used to be kept as documents for internal use only, sort of 内部文件, as Chinese say, are thus off-limits to foreign scholars. With combined data, he provided us with new insights in the history of the Catholic communities in Fu'an. While discussing the social stratification of the Chinese society in modern history, Paul Cohen states, there were elites, that is, social stratification, at every level of the hierarchy, right down to the very lowest, even the bottom, most stratum of the Chinese rural society, in short, was anything but an undifferentiated mass of peasants. Although the image of the early mission to China is predominantly one of an elite mission, as pointed out by Nicholas Standard, who is a Jesuit sinologist, namely from the top down, one should never ignore the role of the local gentry and the literati in the life of the grassroots Catholic communities. As the mission progressed, even missionaries themselves also realized that it was more difficult for rich people to enter the kingdom of God, since they were too attached to the world, to the wealth, and to their concubines. For those local literati and gentry, without official positions and with less mobility, they were largely involved in education and local affairs. However, the difficulty for scholars today is, again, pointed by Standard, in spite of the fact that some of them are mentioned in Western language sources, because they are identified only with their Christian names, it is virtually impossible to trace back their Chinese names, therefore finding out what they were doing, how they were doing it. Thus, it was almost impossible to investigate their lives in association with their faith. However, by comparing sources in both Western and Chinese languages, especially the genealogies of the Catholic family clans, and putting names, both Christian names and Chinese names together of the Chinese Catholics, you know, all of them together, and Dr. Zhang is able to reconstruct some of the activities of the locals with successive events in the region. Take the role of the local literati, for example. In an official report produced in 1637 to 1638, in Fu'an, there were 14 local literatis, and they were called Shengyuan, who were converted to the foreign religion. Now, later on, and Dr. Zhang compared records and the claims in Western language sources, and then he found out that very soon, in about 40 years, and there were 72 accomplished Christians in that region, including 5 Gongsheng who were serving as tutors. And genealogies suggest that most of these literati were from Muyang village, Dingtou village, and Xidong village, where activities of Catholic communities were strong. And local literati provide leadership in local affairs to fight pirates and build local academies and construct irrigation systems, secure land for charity purposes, and establish ancestral halls. In many religious cases, these literati were also role models for other Catholics and regarded as persons of ignorance from the farmland. And that this one person, and by the name of Huang Shangai, and he was a local Catholic from this Dingtou village, was arrested by the government and during the 1637 to 1638 religious case because of his assistance to Dominican missionaries. Now, he was offered a reprieve if he could revert his Christian faith. However, Mr. Huang Shangai would rather be punished than admitting any wrongdoing because of his Catholic faith. Further, he stated that since Xiu Cai would never do so, nor would I, and this Xiu Cai is a local literati, and his name is Huang Dacheng, and again, he is among the early 14 literati mentioned above. Of course, the literati in rural Fu'an in the 17th and 18th century China only took up a rather small percentage of the total local population. According to Dr. Zhang, in most of the villages, such as Fu'an Town, Muyang Village, Dingtou Village, and Xitian Village, and Shuangfeng Village, and so on and so forth, along the White Horse River, farmers, merchants, and artisans were majority of the Catholics. While in more remote areas, such as Xiyin Village and Liuyang Village, farmers made up of the majority of the Catholic population. A significant number of those people were women, as recorded in the local genealogies. A report produced in 1741 illustrated the distribution of Catholic population in different villages in Fu'an. And out of the 65 villages in the entire county, and 8 of them had more than 200 Catholics in their village. And as a result, a visible and powerful network of Catholic communities, as we can see, was gradually forming. And some careful examinations of the relationship between the history of a few specific family clans and steady growth of the Catholics within these family clans offer some contributing factors to such a phenomenon. For example, this Dingtou village, one of the villages that was affected profoundly by religious cases, was made up primarily of the Huang family. The history of the Huang family clan can be traced back to the 12th century. By the late 17th century, it was a family of several branches with more than 360 men. And interestingly enough, in local genealogies, most of the time, and they record detailed information about men, and women are recorded, but not in such details. Its genealogy, the Huang family genealogy, was also revised twice in the 17th century, which is another indication of a rapid growth of the family itself. And again, a note by Jose Maria Gonzalez states, it would have to be added that at least between the year of 1634 to 1636, the average number of the baptized infidels was significantly greater. Without counting the baptized in other towns, in Dingtou alone, some 5,000 people were baptized, which was the number of the inhabitants that town had. And where there only remained one house alone, which was not Christian. Well, although this number is highly debatable, and the local census data in 1982, I believe, only reported a population of 2,300 people. And it is still an indication of the strong presence of the Catholics in that particular village, nevertheless. Only limited information produced by Western scholars is available about the specifics of the Huang family clan in Dingtou, except a report by this person, Blas Serra, that includes about 47 Huang family households with a population of 286 in 1733. And Eugenio Manigong, a professor of history at Boston University, reviewed the data and created a table that lays out who is who, you know, in each of the family. And on the basis of this list, in spite of many difficulties, such as a variety of ways one person was referred to in China in the old days, you have a Ming, and you have a Zi, and you have a Hao, and it goes on and on and on, and no Christian names. And Dr. Zhang painstakingly went through the genealogy of the Huang family clan and added further information, which provides additional valuable data. And this is the genealogy that Dr. Huang reviewed. And then here is a new table of one family based on research of the above two scholars. The contents in blue are recreated by Professor Manigong on the basis of Western language report, while the contents in red are added by Dr. Zhang according to the genealogy of the Huang family. And it's a mixture of Romanized spellings and also Chinese names. And several unique characters, among others, can be seen through this reconstruction of one family. And first, from the way the list of the names was constructed in Western language, it seems to indicate that men were addressed by their zi, not their ming. So it seems to be a custom that in the Ming Dynasty, late Ming and early Qing, particularly early Qing, and people were referred to by their zi and not ming, which is an interesting phenomenon. And then second, it states the branch of the family and generations, which connects one Huang family to another Huang family within the entire clan. Third, in identifying the generations, one can sometimes infer the size of the family or the size of clan. And you look at this family, and he's the number three, and he's a family in another Huang family, in the is number four, and in the entire family, which number this person occupies. And you gradually have a sense, and you can guess, oh, whether it's a large family or it's a smaller family, possibly. Moreover, one can learn about the family network through the marriage as to which village the mother of the family had come from. As a result of this process, the Catholic family has become real people instead of numbers. For example, if you just take a look at the second entry, and this woman is the wife of Mr. Huang, and she is from another village. And then whether it's a Catholic village or non-Catholic village, and the genealogies will indicate. So gradually, you recreate a web of a family network. One cannot discuss the growth of the Catholic Church in Fu'an without discussing one of the most prominent family clans in the county, the Miao family. The earliest member of the Miao family, by the name of Miao Shixiang, a local literati who we mentioned earlier and who welcomed the first Dominican missionary to this county, is one of the earliest Catholics. Once again, careful studies of the local gazetteers and genealogies of the different branches of the Miao clan reveal the lives of this extended family clan. The Miao family clan was located in this village called Muyang, to the north of Dingtou village, where the Huang families were. The Miao family's presence in Fu'an can be traced back to the late 9th century. Different from the earlier Huang families, the Miao family produced more local literati, and a total of 291 in a five-century period, 500 years. And over 100 members of Miao families held official positions in different local counties. This is between 14th century and the 19th century. So it boasted itself as a super clan of the county in one of the local genealogies. And a correlation between earlier converts and their descendants is clearly reflected in the genealogies of the clan. Take Miao Shixiang, the first person that we mentioned, and as an example, it is documented in the family genealogy that not only was his uncle, who was a local literati and a Catholic, one of his own daughters with a Christian name, Maria, was one of the earliest Catholic virgins in the region. And then his grandson, Miao Tianlin, again, a local literati, was very active in local Catholic community affairs. And he was regarded as a model for the locals because he devoted his entire life to missionaries and converted many Christians. And genealogy of this Catholic family illustrated how it grew in three generations. As you know, from one person and it becomes three, four families, and it goes on. Another statistics also illustrated the rapid growth of the population within one Catholic branch of the Miao family clan in four generations. And we're talking about this gentleman, Miao Guisan. And he's a legendary figure in Fu'an. And according to the locals today, during the religious case, in 1746, when the bishop was executed, at the end of that, the bishop was executed, he actually rescued the bishop, Pedro Sanz, from the Remy field, offered him water and rice, and brought him home. Many years after Bishop Sanz was executed, Miao, on his deathbed, had a dream in which he met the bishop again. The bishop encouraged him to receive baptism along with his wife and all of his six sons and a daughter. Now, regardless of how accurate historically this story is, as it has passed down through generations of Miao family clan, the family genealogy indicates that all of his six sons were Catholics, and the growth of the Miao population in the family was rapid in the four generations after Miao Guisan, from six of his sons to 111, forming a powerful force in the local Catholic Church. Further, between the early 1700 and late 1800, the genealogy of the families has identified 25 women as Catholic virgins within the family. Also, changes in marriage patterns between and among certain clans also contributed to the stability and the continuing growth of the Catholic population in Fu'an. In the middle of Fu'an, there were three families who were prominent during the 14th to the 18th centuries, according to the local gazetteer. The Feng clan of Shuangfeng village, the Zhao clan of Xitian village, and in between, the Chen clan of Liancun village. And you could see two of them, and Liancun village is in between. The prestige of each clan was recognized in its own village. All were within 3 kilometers from each other. From the 14th to the 17th centuries, families of the three villages maintained a relatively high frequency in marriages with each other. And take the Feng family clan of the Shuangfeng village, which is on the top. And according to the local genealogy, among the recorded 63 marriages, 9 were with the Chen clan of Liancun village, which is not showing on this map, but between the two villages. However, since the beginning of the 17th century, the pattern began to change. With the increase of the Catholic population in other villages in the region, the number of marriages between the Feng clan of Shuangfeng village and Chen clan of the Liancun village decreased and was replaced with a higher number of marriages with villages from Muyang and Xitian and Luojiaxiang, where Catholic families were prominent. Although in terms of physical distance, some were farther away. So the marriage pattern and the local genealogies indicated between the year of 1700 and early 1800, a total of 230 men were in that particular village, and 120 were recorded clearly as to the names of the women, their spouses, and which villages they were actually from. And out of them, 34 women were from the Catholic villages. And the marriage pattern for those who were married out of the villages confirmed the same kind of data. In other words, Catholic families married Catholic families. So, in spite of the social turmoil, religious cases during this period, and that led to different clashes and between among cultures and the drastic differences of mission policies between among missionaries and conflicts between the imperial court and the Vatican, and which later on became what we know the best as the Chinese rights controversy. And the Catholic communities in Fu'an nevertheless grew significantly from the original 10 in 1634 and to over 13,000 by the mid-1700 in this county of 200,000 people, offering us one of the most intriguing examples in the local Catholic history in China in the 17th and 18th century. Now, like all other studies, and we have all kinds of questions rather than answers, and I have all of these questions prepared in my head, but I think that Dr. Zhang's research is just the beginning to answer some of the questions, such as, should we study more elite or the people from the countryside, and how are we going to collaborate with Chinese scholars or between Chinese scholars and Western scholars? What are the other materials that will be available in addition to genealogies and local gazetteers and oral history and imperial documents? And now, for possible answers, and Dr. Zhang's research gives, is just the beginning. And to conclude, I would like to share with you what Dr. Zhang said when we met recently. As for those genealogies, it is very difficult to obtain them. The locals regard them as the most sacred book of their lineage and usually do not permit other people to read it. I still remember on a rainy day, I spent more than 4 hours climbing a tall mountain to consult one genealogy. Mr. Feng, an elderly Catholic from Shuangfeng Village, was very open and let me read all of the genealogies of the Feng family clan. I will visit him again. Thank you very much.